We are in a deeply spiritual time of year for people who observe Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Each fall, the fellowship observes these cornerstones of the Jewish calendar as the seasons turn and the new year begins with all its sweetness and stocktaking. The Jewish lunar solar calendar determines where these holidays fall in our Gregorian calendar, providing an exciting and very Unitarian opportunity to continually reframe them with readings, reflections, and music. To pull the curtain back a bit, you may be interested to know that the worship team for this High Holy Days service looks carefully at the calendar to guide its theme and direction each year. Does that Sunday fall closer to Rosh Hashanah, leading us to celebrate the promise of the new year and the resolutions, intentions, and blessings to come? Or are we closer to Yom Kippur, inspiring a more somber reflection on responsibility, relationships, and perhaps even reconciliation with self and others? Today, uniquely, we find ourselves right smack between them, which guides us to consider that perhaps these holidays aren't actually separate from one another at all. There's a reason that Jewish people intentionally observe these 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as a continuum rather than an intermission. Even though Western calendars list them as separate events, Judaism asks us to live in the liminal or transitory, often unsettling space between the two holidays, the space in which we sit for a while today. These particular 10 days, the 10 days we're in right now, with Rosh Hashanah last Tuesday and Yom Kippur this coming Thursday, even have their own name, Yamim Noraim, the days of awe. 10 days to be in awe of the spectrum of human experience, to look back and be in awe of the year that has passed, and to look forward in awe of the blessings and challenges sure to come. Though, depending on where you find yourself spiritually, the other name for this period of time, the days of repentance, might resonate with you more. So, are we supposed to be positive and upbeat today, wishing one another Happy New Year and making optimistic resolutions? Or are we supposed to grieve the losses of the year that has passed, atoning for bruised relationships and missed opportunities? Judaism says yes, both, acknowledging that this space, these days of awe, can be both sweet and painful, and challenging us to do the work of breaking down this illusion of separateness. For this is a time of celebration and solemnity, of embracing the reality that sweetness and challenge aren't separate parts of life, they are often intertwined. Rosh Hashanah's apples and honey are all the sweeter because we know the bitterness of the Yom Kippur fast is coming. And the fast is made easier by the promise of forgiveness and the knowledge that the new year, symbolized by the braided round of challah bread, will arrive again. Lashana Tova, everyone. May this new year, 5782, be a sweet one.
The Litany of Atonement that we heard earlier, both read and sung, was written by the Unitarian Universalist minister Rob Eller Isaacs, but it frames the spiritual challenges of forgiveness, both for ourselves and for each other. The last line, for those and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness, is the one that we are focusing on today. The illusion of separateness. This past year, or two, with COVID has challenged us to recognize that despite our distance, we are interconnected. Right now, while we are here in this sanctuary and you are in your various homes, we are all together in this worship experience. As we planned this service, we remarked to each other that we didn't want only the Jewish music in this service today. We acknowledged that Unitarian Universalist hymns can fit this Jewish celebration beautifully, and that Jewish songs in our hymnal can also be found on other days, not just the day that we have set aside to honor Jewish tradition. That in itself is an illusion of separateness. These two holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as Jacqueline noted, are not separate. Nor are we, as Unitarian Universalists, entirely separate from the experience of our Jewish kin. Of course, if we were not raised in the Jewish tradition, we will not have the depth of understanding and connection. But the lessons of grief, lament, atonement, celebration, sweetness, and joy are available to we non-Jewish Unitarian Universalists as well. In that spirit of connection, Ali invited you to participate in the Jewish ritual of Tashlik at home this week, to cast into a body of water whatever it is that you wish to leave behind this year as you move into the next. And I know I have plenty I would like to leave behind. Now I want to add to that. I want to add a point of connection. If you choose to participate in Tashlik, and I hope you do, be sure to bring along a small container to gather some water and bring it with you next Sunday to our mingling of the waters service. That ritual, like the Jewish one, also relies on the metaphor of water and the power that it has to heal and unite. This week marks a connection point between the 18 months that our fellowship worship was only on Zoom to the future that will include both in-person and Zoom worship again. As you cast your concerns, your wrongdoings, or griefs into the water for Tashlik, take that moment to transition, to reconnect to what comes next, to bring the water with you as a Unitarian Universalist symbol of regathering and reconnection. As we cast aside the illusion of separateness, we celebrate our reconnection next week, an honor that we have, in fact, been connected all along. We have been connected all along.
When we hear about the illusion of separateness, it's usually a trauma narrative. Someone independent and self-contained is struck by calamity. Out of the blue, someone or something intervenes, and through that sudden proximity, everything is tragically altered. A good example of this is my COVID story. In the winter of 2019, my partner Amy and I read with interest and then increasing worry and cold horror as a new coronavirus started making big international headlines. When Amy suggested we invest in a large box of high quality masks, I rolled my eyes at the pack rat tendencies of my beloved, although I grew to be glad my scoffing was ignored, so we had them when they were hard to come by. But initially, I thought about family friends in Asia. I carried them in my heart, but after all, that was happening far away. Of that, I was confident. Having lived briefly as a child in South Korea, I had embodied knowledge of how long it took to get there and back, and how not close it was, how separate from me and mine. And then, as the pandemic rapidly swept the globe, came the trauma of realizing what a foolish illusion it had been to consider myself too removed to be impacted. What are oceans and continents and my own concept of identity to an airborne pathogen in a global world rife with inequality? Absolutely nothing at all. It can be incredibly painful to be united when suffering is on the collective menu. The declaration of the Jewish High Holy Days is the opposite. Instead of illusory separation as traumatic, we are promised that however singular or alone we might feel at our lowest or loneliness, we are plugged into a greater love and care and community than we can ever fathom. And that it is a blessing to be held by such an encompassing network of existence. When we look with this lens, examples abound and resound. Cultural and biological diversity are entwined more than previously documented. For example, bears and indigenous humans have lived side by side for millennia in the forested west coast of Canada. A recent partnership between scientists and indigenous wildlife managers just realized that the grizzlies form three distinct genetic groups. And where these bear groupings live align closely with where you find the three indigenous language families. The boundaries, they don't correspond to waterways or difficult landscapes. And so probably the bears remain genetically distinct, not because they can't travel, but because the region is so resource rich that they haven't needed to do so. Once we get past the illusion of separateness, the false idea that how people and bears decide where to live must be different, then the potential for right relationship presents itself. One First Nations group is already planning to reduce their annual salmon harvest, because they now understand that that can better support bears' needs. And big picture, the idea that local knowledge and localized management are critical gets reinforced. Or, to move on to another example, how aspen trees above the surface of Earth's rich brown blanket seem to be their own distinct units, one tree next to another tree, and so on. And yeah, okay, they are actually considered singular organisms. But underground, oh, it is a different story. That separateness is but an illusion. The main life force of an aspen family, science calls them patches, is the extensive interconnected root system they share. Even if severed, aspens remain genetically connected for, well, forever. They are hardy, quick-growing, they provide habitat, biofuel, and wood products, and their existence brings us beauty and knowledge, including knowledge of ever-present roots, linking and supporting. To wind down this service, we turn once again to the Kol Nidre, shared by Mark Ernest and Dan Van Sickle, as has become our tradition at the service. One reason this is such a central element of High Holy Day observance is that it captures the ache of knowing that we are bound to one another in life, that when we transgress against another, it causes pain, that mere words cannot erase the damage done, that even when amends are faithfully completed, the cycle will launch all over again because none of us are perfect. But instead of staying there in that valley of isolated hopelessness, the music, this ancient music heard this season across the globe, promises us that we have a fresh new year in which to revel in our connection to one another by simply showing up, by trying again, by knowing we share connection and doing our best to honor it, by giving in to this music of the ritual and the metaphorical music of life itself. Here we are with one another, imperfect and side by side, it tells us. Our separateness is but an illusion. Listen.